Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Associate Pastor Jeremy Barkley. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
Church. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Have you come expected this morning?
Yes.
I pray that you've come expected this morning. There has been such a peace on the service, even this morning as I got up and got here early. And I tell you what, so excited for Josh and Jenny.
Amen.
And all that the Lord has in store for them. Make sure that you continue to keep them on the top of your list and prayers. But he gets here very early and sets things up, and I got here a little early this morning. I was like, I'm so thankful for Josh, you know, just thankful for Dave and Kim, and they're here early setting things up, and, you know, that's what the body does. We work together. Today is the last installment of our series, Community. We've been going down through a little bit of an acronym looking at grace, and today we're on E, and so we're going to talk about encounter and worshiping together. And so we've had a little bit of that so far, and now we're going to worship in the teaching and the preaching of God's word. I do want to personally invite you out for tonight. Tonight is a night of prayer and worship. Rumor has it that the Steelers already lost this week, so you know your evening's completely free. And I got to get it in there. Okay. Believe me, I've gotten it. I've gotten it before being a Washington fan, but yeah, we just want to encourage you to come. And it's going to be a wonderful night. You know, the nights of prayer and worship have been very impactful in this region for a lot of churches and even the School of the Spirit. And that's one of the things I love about this house is that it's not about always about us, right? We really are trying to equip a region in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the revelation that the Lord has given us. And so tonight we've taken a three-month sabbatical from the nights of prayer and worship, and we're really expecting to kick things off tonight. And we know the Lord will meet us. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read this passage one more time. We want to get it in your bones, amen? From Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47, hear the word of the Lord. It says, "And many others, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. And then those gladly received his word were baptized, and that day there were 3,000 souls that were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." And 43 will be our key verse. It says, "Then the fear of the Lord came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among them all, and everyone as everyone had need. So continually, daily, in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're already here. And Lord, even though there's a lot to do, Lord, this is what we're doing now. So Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, for a grace and a peace. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would do what only you can do, Lord, that you would remove every distraction, Lord, that you would open every heart and just till the soil to receive good seed. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, Lord, that your words would be heard only, that your agenda would be sown, Lord, into the soil of this house. We love you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We declare that today, that we trust you. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. As I said earlier, the key verse for today is verse 43, "And then the fear of the Lord came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders and signs were done through the apostles." How many of you believe that there are still signs and wonders? Amen?
Amen.
We need signs and wonders. We need signs and wonders. If you haven't guessed already, this sermon is right up my alley. I love signs and wonders. Well, you know why? Not because I love the miracle of it all, and not just because I love to be used by God or I love to see others used by God. It's because we live in a world that needs evidence, right? We live in a world that needs to see the power of God, the majesty of God, the overwhelming grace of God upon the earth. And so God loves to come into connection, into agreement with his obedient, seeking saints and just show off. Amen. And bring the heavens to the earth and this Kairos intersection. And all of us have hopefully had those moments where the heavens have intersected with the earth and the Lord just moves. And natural law is overwhelmed and the grace of God is released. We are called to be people of encounter because we are called to be people of worship. You can tell a saint, you can tell a follower, a believer, by their actions and the fruit of the Spirit that lives within them, because they will have a discipline and a pattern of prayer and worship in their life. And if you have a discipline and a pattern of prayer and worship, if you are a man of prayer and a woman of worship, you will see the manifest presence of God.
Amen.
All over.
Yes.
Amen.
Your life and your encounters, your appointments.
Sure.
And so when we say Emmanuel, God with us, it's greater than one season of the year. Amen. We have to believe that. God is with us. He lives and dwells within us. We will never be alone. He is always there. But then there are times where his presence is tangible. When Jesus walks into the room, I heard a pastor say this week that we can't just talk about the presence of God like it's the force, but we need to realize that when the presence of Jesus walks in the room, Jesus is in the room.
Amen.
What if we started to realize that and started to articulate that and started to hone in on the fact that the Spirit of Jesus not only lives within us, but is around us, moving and breathing and working in and through us. And how would we respond if we were actually tuned into that, if we were knowledgeable, if we were mindful of that experience? Recently, we all know that Queen Elizabeth passed away, and I love those kind of times in history when everything kind of shifts, when there's some sort of societal or cultural or natural transition that happens upon the earth. And this would be one, when the Queen of England would pass on to glory. And I'm so thankful for her testimony that many ministers have been articulating her testimony. And I watched one morning as King Charles III, he made his first appearance after the death of his mother. He got out of his Rolls Royce and he stepped right in front of the castle there, and there were thousands of people there just waiting to get a glimpse of him and to touch him and to shake his hand and also release their condolences. The fans clamored for his attention. And the commentators on the TV had this profound observation, and they said these words. I tried to write them down as best as I could. They said, for these followers of the royal family, this is a moment in their lives they will never forget. The king will not remember them, but they will never forget this encounter.
Right.
Can I just say to you that the king that we serve, Jesus the Christ, amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Our Lord and Savior, our Messiah, Yeshua, that he does not shake hands for political gain and he does not make appearances, but he is the presence of God.
Amen.
He is the visible God. And he encounters us because he can't help himself but to encounter and embrace his creation and his children. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, we need one another's encounters to build together into the season ahead of us. They overcame, past tense, by the word of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. What does that mean? That means that when we bring what we receive together, there's a sharing that happens, and faith increases. And when faith increases, the presence of God is manifest and starts to grow, and it's exponentially increased in the space that we are sharing. And that's when we overcome. And so I need your encounter in this space this morning. I need you to bring your faith with you this morning. And we need you to bring your faith with you in your home groups every single week. Because here's the thing, you will encounter Jesus individually, and you will encounter Jesus collectively, especially here in worship corporately, but in small groups together, in home groups together, as we ask one another, how is it with your soul? And iron begins to sharpen iron. Encounters, they can transform an individual heart and shape a generation. And what happens is we give what we have freely received, freely and in faith. And so here's the thing, when we hold on to our encounters, because some of us do that. Some of us are just private people. Some of us are really worried about what others will think. And I think that's natural. But we are called to be supernatural, amen?
Amen?
Amen. Are we awake this morning? I said there's a peace in the room, not a slumber. Right? And so when we hold on to our counters for ourselves, we are essentially holding seed without sowing it in faith. I was reminded of the scripture verse in John chapter 12, verse 24. It says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Jesus is talking about his own life in this scripture passage. That is the literal translation. That is the literal translation or the application there. And he's talking about his life and his death and, amen, his resurrection. But there is a principle to this text. There is a principle to this verse that is far outreaching and overspreading of this entire message. The seed cannot remain the seed. It cannot remain in seed form if you're expecting a harvest.
Right.
You have to sow it. And your encounter is a seed that creates a harvest. Not only in your life, but those lives around you. Home groups are fertile soil to sow intimate encounters with the Lord. They build expectation, and they also build initiative. To therefore go. Isn't that our mandate? Therefore go. We're heading out to Israel here in about a month. And you know, that's not a mission trip, but it could be a mission trip.
Right.
Right? It could be. I sure hope it's a mission trip. I sure hope we run into some Muslims that I could witness to. I sure hope there's someone that needs an encounter with Jesus and my ears are tuned in to what the Holy Spirit is saying in that moment. I sure hope it's a mission trip. Right? I'm not just going to eat hummus and all those desserts that are sinful. I'm going to experience what Jesus experienced, walk where he walked, but be used by his Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so pray for our team as we prepare to go. And you know one thing about small groups, about home groups, as we start to hear one another's story, is that if I recognize within me that God isn't doing it in me right now, I can rest assured that he's doing it in someone around me.
Sure.
And what that'll do is that'll start to build within me a desire and a longing and a pursuit. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Amen?
Amen.
The spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so if God has done it there, he can surely do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that to you because some of you believe that it's only for some. If he did it over here, if he did it in their life, he wants to do it in yours.
Amen.
It just may look a little bit different.
Amen.
And I have to be okay with that. And I have to be okay with his timing and his methods. And I certainly have to be okay with his lordship.
Right.
And so the spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so if he did it once, he can do it again. And he can do it in you and he can do it in me. And what happens is when he does it in me, it creates these profound kingdom ripples. How many of you have been impacted by a ripple in your life? Someone has just experienced and has encountered Jesus. And their encounter spill up over into your life. And like streams of living water flowing out of their belly. I'm so thankful for the ripple of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so thankful for the ripples of Isaac and Jacob and Moses. I'm so thankful that Moses stood in a burning bush and didn't know what to do but just take his shoes off. I'm so thankful that Joshua lingered. Because he lingered, we've learned to linger. I'm going to wait till the last drop. Because I'll tell you what, Jesus is good to the last drop, isn't he? Amen. I'm so thankful for a prophet named Jeremiah. I kind of like that guy.
Yeah.
That he was called at a young age and he didn't feel qualified. But the Lord didn't look at his resume or the date of his birth. He just said, hey, where's the heart? I can use that heart. I'm thankful for a great cloud of witnesses. I'm also thankful for a ripple here from Oakland United Methodist Church on Bedford Street. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for the ripple of Chris Valente, who I worked with up at Emmanuel Church. And I'm sure that was a hard transition when he left there and went up. And I'm so thankful he went up there, because I would have never ended up down here. I'm thankful for that ripple. I'm thankful for the ripple of Pastor Randy saying yes and coming in here and by the grace of God steadying the ship. I'm thankful for the ripple of Vic Burns and the preaching of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You guys surprised me with that one. I didn't know what I was coming into. You know what I mean? I started drinking deeply and my spirit started to come alive. It was like the ripple of my grandfather, Sidney Mays, as a spirit-filled Nazarene preacher. When I hit this soil, something came into agreement. The encounters from the past started to pour into my belly, and now generations are going to be impacted because of this house. Amen?
Amen.
I'm so thankful for Margie Allen walking through the house and anointing everything, just throwing oil, right? I'm so thankful for our prayer warriors in this. I can talk about your ripples, and here's the truth of the matter. Your ripples will be talked about by generations to come.
Amen.
Because that's what happens when we encounter Jesus together. We share what we've encountered. And I thought of a scripture just to look at a little bit as we close up this series and we've casted vision on what's to come for Oakland. There's a lot happening, but this is what we're doing right now. I thought of Isaiah chapter 6. Because when I think of just an individual encounter, there's like four words in the first verse that really sum up it all. In the year that King Uzziah died, don't throw that away. Because what is it? That's a transition. We talked about Queen Elizabeth. In the year that King Uzziah died, something happens in transitions. There's transactions. There's comings and there's goings. There's withdrawals and deposits. There was a deposit that was made in Isaiah. And he said these four words, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. Just whisper that right now. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. Because here's the thing. When I see him, I can't unsee him. Can I just say that again? When I see him, I can't unsee him.
Right.
When I hear his voice, I can't unhear his voice. What do we long for? Are we longing for payday? Are we longing for events? Are we longing for our children's successes? Are we longing to see him? It says that I saw him high and lifted up, and his robe filled the temple. The robe is an outward expression. It's a mantle of his majesty and his glory and his royalty. And said that his robe was so big that it filled the temple. I just imagine if this was the temple of God, and this is even a fraction, just layers upon layers of his robe, his majesty, his glory filling the temple. They say that with a king, every victory they add to the length of his robe. So the robe of our king is so long and so vast and so majestic. It says that there were angels that stand at attention that can't even look on the face of our king. That they cover themselves. It says that there are angels that sing these repeated hymn, holy, holy, holy. Because one is not enough and two certainly doesn't complete the expression. But three, holy, holy, holy,
mm-hmm.
is the Lord God Almighty.
Yes, yes, yes.
Holy, holy, holy.
Yes.
He is unblemished. He is pure. He is spotless. You cannot touch him. But he longs to be touched.
Yes.
I think of a lot of times in this generation, we talk about how music has changed, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And when they change music, it's like someone changing the way we eat our food. We don't like the chef to change. I like it this way, but I've heard recently, you know, this generation that we're living in now, all these songs are pushing out really fast. And in the convergence of all the generations, there's been a little bit of a divide on how we worship. Because we're getting away from some hymns and we're getting into some repetitive songs. But when you go to heaven, they sing in Holy, Holy, Holy. Mm-hmm. It's unending. I've heard the word hypnotic. But what if we're just soaking? What if there aren't enough words anyway, and so we just need to call them holy? Mm-hmm. And it says that, it tells us in this passage that Isaiah is literally peeking in on a divine board meeting that he has no business being at. He gets to peek in, and God knows he's there. And so just three aspects of this verse. Pastor Randy told me about 12 years ago, we exegeted this together, and that I can only preach this verse one way. But the first thing I think we do in our personal encounters is we realize there are three principles. Number one is there's a woe factor. There's a woe factor. Encounters invoke the Great Commission. Matthew 28 and Mark 16. They emphasize and they complement one another. One is more missional, one is more experiential. But woe is when we behold him. Because we become what we behold, amen? Mm-hmm. We become what we behold, amen?
Amen?
And when we encounter his glory and his majesty, we also encounter his nature. And he is so full of love that that's who he is.
Amen.
God is love. And so he says, I saw him high and lifted up. And so sometimes we lose his majesty in the midst of living in a culture that has lost their reverence. I'm just going to say that again and so that you can hear it. I think sometimes within the church and the culture that we live right now, we've lost the majesty of God because we live in a culture that has lost their reverence for God. They've lost their fear of God.
Right.
And when I think of the word woe, I think of an overwhelming wonder. Do you still have your wonder for Jesus? Or have we just made him someone else? Some celebrity that we worship? We need to have our wonder back. Because when I have wonder, I share my wonder. And when I come into these home groups, I can say, hey, God did this, and I really didn't expect him to do this. But there's this awe. There's this overwhelming woe. I am like not as big as this guy.
Right.
And I never will be, but he loves me and he welcomes me. Because the veil is torn and there's access. And so when I think of woe, I think of power and I think of love. I don't know why he uses us, but he loves to use us. And you know what? He promises to use us where two or three are gathered together in agreement.
Amen.
And so I've seen cancer disappear.
Amen.
You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
How? That is beyond natural law. Amen. Science can't explain that, but Jesus can.
Yes.
Right.
I've seen legs grow in my hand. As we prayed in faith. I've seen deliverance. I've seen pain leave the body. I've seen knowledge, words of knowledge. People that would have no idea. Last week, when someone grabbed us in the second service, Pastor Randy and I, and they put us at the altar together. And I think one thing I'm learning about myself is that I've had to learn from a young age, at 7 years old, because of the circumstances of my family, to just keep moving. And I think there's sometimes you need to stop. And you need to rest. And you need to let others minister to you. And so all I know is just keep moving and keep ministering. Keep moving and keep ministering. It's like a train that won't stop. And there's sometimes the Lord just has to pull the e-brake on me.
Right.
And you know, someone grabbed us and they pulled us up front here. And I will tell you, those babes, out of the mouth of babes, almost the entire youth group and about 20 people gathered around us. And the Spirit of God was in that prayer so strong. And three teenagers came up to me and spoke exactly to the circumstance I was facing last week.
Amen.
Like to the word. How does that happen? Whoa.
Whoa.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's why it's a mystery of faith. Amen.
Right.
I don't need to explain it. I don't need to figure it out. I had a prophet say that to me one time, Jeremy, you just got to quit trying to figure it out. And I'm going to tell you something, if you are one of those people that tries to figure it out, and you get flustered and you get frustrated when you can't figure it out, you know what the Lord's going to do to you? He's just going to keep the veil right in front of your eyes.
That's true.
Because if you're trying to figure it out, that means that there needs to be a revelation of trusting Him. But here's the thing, once I trust Him, I start to see further. And there's a peace. And I'm going to tell you something, when you experience the peace of God, you can't purchase that. All you can do is surrender under it. And so we've seen words of knowledge. We've seen demons leave and on and on and on. And the world needs the supernatural now, maybe more than ever.
That's for sure.
The second thing we do is we get low. We get low. When we experience His majesty, we experience His glory, the only thing we can do in the light of His glorious grace is be fully aware of our brokenness and our sinful nature, but also in the fact that He loves us. When I think of low, I think of humility and honor. Those are pillars in the kingdom of heaven. Pillars of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom is upside down, it's backwards. The world loves to honor pride. The kingdom honors humility. The last shall be first. And so our unconscious, immediate, and appropriate response to such encounters must be humility and honor to the one most deserving of both. And so we are made worthy. I'm not worthy, but I'm made. I'm made worthy. And I'm established by the one who not only called me, but He sends me. And He equips me. And His name is Jesus. And He says, I have authority in heavens and the earth. Now therefore go. In my authority, He says, go, Jeremy. In my authority, He says, go, Fred. In my authority, He says, go, Myrna. He says, in my authority, you can go. You can go in your own strength, but you can't go in my authority if you're going in your own strength. Because our strength keeps us low, but He raises us up. Isaiah identifies his need for the coals to touch his lips because he's a product of a perverse generation that has perverse tongues and perverse lips. And he needs to be consecrated. And he needs redeemed for the assignment that's in front of him. I believe that's what the Lord is saying today. I believe that the Lord is saying, like in the book of Joshua, he said, you know, be strong and courageous, Joshua. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. I'm preaching this tonight, but I'm not going to preach it now. But here's what he said next. He said, consecrate yourselves. Set yourselves apart. Identify the need. Identify the inconsistency. Identify the pattern that is a little shaky in the eyes of our Lord, so that you, when you set yourself apart and you start to fast and you start to pray and you start to develop patterns of devotion, but you also do the extra things, the little things that matter. You keep the distractions away from your life. You start to, it's funny, through my sabbatical, I read through all the Psalms and Proverbs and how it tells us to watch this tongue. Right? Hear this. If you hear from God, the proportion that you hear from God is absolutely contingent on your ability to control this thing. Because why would He ever share His secrets if all you're going to do is blurt them out? There's a time for release. There's a time for release. And I've been guilty of that. There have been things that the Lord has given to me that I was supposed to just stew on and let it go in the slow cooker. You know the slow cooker? Mm-hmm. Right? That's when the flavor comes out. And because I was anxious and zealous, I jumped on it. And you know what? That's the thing is, when we get low before the Lord, He identifies our need to look more like Him. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of us need to realize, like, we're still in process. Amen.
Right.
Amen. You carry His image.
Mm-hmm.
What a responsibility. What a mandate. Right? And there are times when He has to remind us how low we can be.
Mm-hmm.
The last is we're called to go. The presence of God and or my personal encounters with Him are not keepsakes. You hear that? The presence of God and every encounter I have is not a keepsake and it's not a souvenir of the kingdom of heaven. Here's what it is. It's a punched ticket by our commander-in-chief to therefore go into all the earth. When two words I think of when I think of go, I think of calming and obedience. There are two things that the Lord does not revoke. He does not revoke a gift, and he does not revoke a calling. Scripture tells us that. So here's the thing. If he called you once, and you're not in your calling, he's not going to let you go until you're in that calling. And your heart will not be settled until you're in his hand. And you can be thankful for that. And he knows where to find you. Can I just say that? You're not late. You're never late if you're in Christ. You have this encounter and the Lord just takes you high and takes you low, and then he says, go. Go. From that place that you just experienced me, go and take it into to all the nations of all the earth. Take it to your backyard. Take it to the cubicle next to you. Go. Go to your kids. You know what? You might have gone to your kids when they were 12 and they were 13 or 7, and maybe they're 25 and 33 right now, but keep going until they get it. Because maybe there's a maturity that's happening. Maybe there's a solidifying of their faith that's happening. And right now, the seed that you tried to throw early is able to now be received in faith. God asked one question. He says, whom should I send? And because of his encounter and because of his deliverance. See, that's the thing. Our encounter takes us out of our fallen nature. It draws us out. It draws us closer to him. And because of what he's encountered, because of who's he encountered, Isaiah can't help himself but to say, here I am. Mm-hmm. Here I am. Send me. The blood of Jesus is your passport to go. So here's the thing. We can't give what we haven't received. Amen. Amen. So here's your charge. Encounter him. He wants to be encountered. He's not hard to find. He's not hard to find. He doesn't play hide and go seek with his children. He waits on them. He's a good father. Mm-hmm. He can't wait to swoop you up and put a ring on your finger and change your robe. Mm-hmm. He can't wait to do that. And he loves it when his children live in harmony together. Mm-hmm. So I just want to tell you, if you are on the fence about these home groups, just jump off. I can guarantee you will be blessed. You may be inconvenienced. You may be inconvenienced because something's got to go for something to come in. Mm-hmm. The word I got last week in worship in the second service was make room. The harvest is coming. You're going to have to make room. Amen. But do you want the storehouse is full? Mm-hmm. I want my storehouse is full. Mm-hmm. Shall we stand? I don't think we can preach on encounter without having the opportunity for encounter. I was thinking about that. You know, it just seems like since COVID, we've developed this new pattern, and I remember in my early days, I've been here for 12 years, y'all. 12 years. You guys have seen gray hair come on my head. But I remember days when this altar was full. And I think those days are coming. I think they're coming again. So why not start now? Why not start now? You can encounter him from your pew. You absolutely can encounter him from your pew. He can whisper anywhere. But something happens when you step out. It creates a ripple, doesn't it? How many times has all it took taken is one person?
That's right.
And then the dam is broke and the waters flow. So won't you come and let's encounter him together. Let's worship him together. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless you this morning and we thank you, Lord, that like Isaiah, we get to peek in to the kingdom. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would prepare us for the seasons ahead. But prepare us in encounters. Because, Lord, once we see you, we can't unsee you. Once we hear you, we can't unhear you. So, Lord, I pray for anyone who's leery of stepping out, Father, I pray right now that you would just give them a grace and an unction of boldness to come encounter you today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.